You're listening to Event CEO, a podcast for executives who are looking to maximize their event ROI through business strategy, technology, and innovation.
Hello, and welcome to the Event CEO podcast. Thank you for listening and sharing part of your day with us. We're truly honored and grateful as we know your time is precious. I'm your host, Rebecca Linder, founder and CEO of Linder Global Events. And today, we're so pleased to have on the show Claire Carlin, Vice President of Partnerships and Alliances for Destination DC. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, Rebecca. I'm very pleased to be here.
It's so great to have you. So Claire and I have known one another for a long time. She is now at Destination DC. And as you guys, some of you will know, we interviewed your president and CEO, Elliot Ferguson. However, we'd love to hear from you today around the work that you do at that great organization. And why don't you start with a little bit about the role that you play and how it fits into the mission?
Right, totally. Well, thanks. I have a really terrific job celebrating the success of our city and helping to facilitate that. A reminder to listeners what Destination DC is. We are the official destination marketing organization for the city, otherwise known as a convention and visitor bureau. So our job is to market Washington, D.C. for meetings, conventions, events, and leisure travel. So our audience is anyone from outside the city coming to the city. And fundamentally, we are an economic development organization. So we are looking for money, money spent from outside Washington to be spent inside the city. And how does that contribute to the functioning of Washington, D.C.?
And the role you play in the organization?
And all of that.
Yep.
So my job is partnerships and alliances, as you said, and what that really means is the revenue generating programs for Destination DC. That is membership and engaging and supporting local businesses that participate in the travel and tourism economy and sponsorship. And so how do we work with businesses who want a deeper relationship and more benefits around that? Our work with Partnership and Alliances complements the other teams at Destination DC. We have a very robust marketing department, which controls our corporate communications and our B2B and B2C messaging. And then we have two very externally facing teams, tourism, which markets for leisure travel, and convention sales, which markets for business and meetings travel. So the four teams work together, but my job is supporting and engaging the local businesses.
And talk to us about how, so part of our audience is very interested in sort of, you know, how do you keep a membership engaged? So that's one of the, you know, the big questions around. You have a big membership, which is how big?
We have about 1,000 member businesses.
How do you keep them engaged? And then we'll segue a little bit into the most recent event that you've had and how that impacted your membership.
There are a lot of ways, and we are really fortunate to be in the midst of a very robust and thriving economy in a great city. So those 1,000 member businesses are people that touch travel and tourism. So it is hotels and accommodations, it's restaurants, it is attractions, things like museums, tour operators and providers, and then it is convention service providers. That's like the AV company and the transportation company that help facilitate meetings and events. All of them participate with Destination DC because it's good for their business. It's not a philanthropic investment. It is not any sort of obligation. They join with Destination DC because we provide resources to them that help them grow their business. And we do that through connections. That is connections to clients who are coming to town. That's connections to one another. And an example of that would be at a member event. We host a couple of member events a month. Generally, there's a blend of education and networking and social activities. And I saw happen at the coffee bar one time, somebody who owns a small cruise company, so boats on the Potomac, meet someone who works in logistical support for conventions and tours. And they had this mashup that happened at the coffee bar and said, wow, my people might want to come on your boat. And he said, I might love to have your people on your boat. Why don't I take your team out on a cruise next week? And so they are working together now as a result of that.
So for the audience, there's two members, right? There's this sort of the event world and the event audience, and then there are the corporate environment that is, uses events to support what it is they do. How would you suggest those two audiences engage with an organization like Destination DC?
Like DDC.
Yeah. And how do they best take advantage?
Right. It depends a little bit on who the business is. And everybody has a different experience with Destination DC that works for them. So for example, there is a walking tour company that we work with, and they have told us that their number one website referral source is Washington.org. So we're tremendously proud of that. Our website is working. We are reaching people and they are getting click-throughs, and they can tell that through their own analytics. So they are exclusively working for us because of the benefits of digital marketing.
Okay.
These other people, like the cruise boat guy, is really about interpersonal relationships. And so they come to all the events to meet each other. There are people like the hotel community who really work with us because our convention sales team is selling their hotels directly. They're participating in the room blocks so that when the big convention comes to town, they can have those people stay. And then we have tremendous data across the industry that shows long-term hotel trends so they can understand what the occupancy looks like, how we're selling rooms in 2020, 25, et cetera, and then how they can plan their business accordingly. So depending on the kind of business that you are, there are a lot of different ways that you can see some benefit from Destination DC.
And can I assume that every city has a version of Destination DC?
Yes, so largely.
There's a big advantage in getting involved.
Yeah. And across the industry, those destination marketing organizations are very collaborative. We share information. We share best practices. We're competitive for meetings and events, but then we also work together. The meetings work, we'll rotate around the big cities. And so we'll say, oh, well, they're going to be in San Francisco next year and then Anaheim, and then they're coming to Washington, D.C. What did you learn in each of those cities about how to best serve this particular client?
Okay. It's pretty cool. So how does the corporate client rely on a Destination D.C. or a version of that in any city?
Yeah. So say that I'm bringing Claire's Cookies and all of my service providers to a city for a convention, and there are 20,000 of us that work on Claire's Cookies.
Where are the Claire's Cookies?
Of course, right?
I wish they were here.
I know.
I want a cookie.
I want a cookie. I would contact the destination marketing organization in the place, and one person from the sales team would work with me to help me find the right resources, to help me find the dates of the convention center, to help me understand what the room weights are, what hotels are available, how my attendees get around. Can they walk? Are they using public transportation? Do I need to provide some transportation? So on the front end, I have someone that helps me negotiate the purchasing of the space and the experiences for my delegates. And then once I've decided that Washington, D.C. is where I want to be, someone else from Destination D.C. is like my complimentary meeting planner from the destination that makes connections, facilitate site visits so that I have someone to take me around to visit places where I might have my board meeting and where I might do my pre-weekend retreat for families. So Destination DC brings all of those resources for free to the client. And it's for free because our city benefits on the other side from all of their delegate spending.
It's an incredible service.
Thanks.
Incredible.
I think so. Yeah. My colleagues are pretty good at it.
Yes, they are. That I can attest to. Well, so you talk about, you know, bringing things, it's free because, you know, your role and goal as an organization and mission is to enhance the economy here in DC in particular.
Yeah.
So we just had a big event, IPW, and love to hear a little bit about how, you know, what that meant for the city and what you had to do from a sponsorship perspective. What was your mandate and what you had to do, and hear more about how you went about it.
Yeah, for sure. A little piece of context, an enormous amount of money comes to Washington, D.C. from visitors, and that is just over $7 billion a year. It's incredible. It's a little bit hard to get your brain around the scale of that, and that comes from about 22 million visitors. The vast majority of that is what they spend on their lodging, and then the taxes that are paid on the lodging come to help fuel and run the city. That is where Destination DC gets the majority of its budget. And it's important to know that, it is visitors who are paying for the marketing services of the city, not residents. So marketing, travel, and tourism is purely a net gain for residents. Everyone benefits. It costs us as taxpayers and residents no additional money.
Wow. That's a good thing to know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
The balance of that money or the partnerships and team that I work with, we raise some of our operating budget, and the rest comes from part of that hotel tax. And so to your point about IPW, we had to work to raise some funds to put that on. For listeners, IPW was a big business in travel industry conference. It is hosted by US Travel, which is the national advocacy organization for our industry. And IPW is simply an acronym. It doesn't mean anything, but it has this global brand recognition. The audience at IPW are international travel buyers. They come once a year to an American city. An international travel buyer might be someone who is selling high-end luxury experiences for Chinese travelers to come to Washington, D.C., who sells tour groups to students from Germany, who sells senior citizen packages from Italy. Those kind of people are who the customers are. They come once a year to a domestic city, and everyone who has something to sell them comes and courts them. That's like Destination D.C. and the hotel chains and the transportation providers and Disney and all of that. Washington had never hosted it before. We won the bid several years ago, and it was kind of like being an Olympic city. So we had all of these obligations about how to showcase our city. And Washington, D.C. city government put up half of the funding. So $3.5 million came from the district government of a total $7 million budget. And we thank the district government a lot for that. and that all happened before my time, thanks to some of my colleagues who negotiated that, and our former board chair, Gregory McCarthy from the Washington Nationals, and our former mayor, Anthony Williams. They put that package together. And then we had to raise the rest of it to match those funds. So your question is like, how did that happen?
Yeah. I think, you know, so often on the sponsorship, as people have to think about sponsorship, I mean, it's daunting in general,
yeah.
But to think about it in terms of $3.5 million as an obligation in order to make this thing happen, to, mm-hmm. to get the matching funds is a tremendous mandate, one. Mm-hmm. Two, you'll probably touch on this, the actual benefits to the city is not immediate. It, mm-hmm. it is over time. And so how do you, you know, how do you get sponsors engaged? And then how do you activate them around that during the event? And as you and I have talked about, sponsorship has changed.
Yeah.
You know, people want different things than they used to and want more value. So anything around that, we're very interested in.
Yeah.
And we applaud you. We Thanks. Should say that as well.
Thanks.
That was a big, big accomplishment.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
So there's a number of things there that we could talk about for the next several weeks, but
a little shorter time.
But we won't.
Part two.
Basically speaking, it worked a lot like a capital campaign. So people who are listening who have experience with sort of an arts institution or educational, there's like a big amount of money that comes at the beginning from true believers. And so in our case, that was our partners in Virginia and Maryland and their state tourism boards and Brand USA, which is the Commerce Department's international marketing organization.
Okay.
The three of them came on quite early and were almost part of the bid package. If Washington does this, we're all going to contribute. They all have a vested interest in the success of global travel and tourism, because if Washington, D.C. is successful, the region is successful. And so our partners in Maryland and Virginia also benefit from that and have a lot of really terrific things to show and engage visitors. Likewise, Brand USA's entire purpose is to welcome international visitors here. And so because it's Washington, D.C., because it's the federal government headquarters, it was almost like their hometown as well. Mm-hmm. So those were great. Another large partner that came in early was the Airports Authority. Dulles and National Airports are the Washington Regional Airports Authority. And again, if IPW is successful, they are successful. And so they all joined us, and we were this initial pack of the major players to bring IPW. IPW is measured in an increase in international visitation following. U.S. Travel and the firm Rockport Analytics measure that, so people don't have to take our word for it. Mm-hmm. And it is expected that about 1 million international visitors, an increase of 1 million international visitors, will come to Washington in the 3 years following IPW, representing about $1.7 billion in spending. And that comes from people coming to the city, those buyers we talked about, having this great experience and booking more travel to Washington as a direct result of that. So that's outstanding.
And just, I mean, I want to get back to that, but I'm also curious, are there other events that are in your portfolio or in that same universe around the country that activate a city as much as this did in terms of the government, the airports authority, the regional kind of partners?
Yes and no.
What would an example be of an
There are
kind of
other event? Travel industry events that are fairly similar. And I can speak knowledgeably
like
about
Olympics,
some of them.
Or is it, you know, if we were going to host, let's say, the NFL, you know, the Super Bowl, I mean, would the whole city, is that kind of, does it have to be that iconic to
those
drive?
That helps. The ones that you just cited are very consumer oriented. An individual makes a choice to go to the Super Bowl or to go to the Olympics, I think.
Got it.
This U.S. Travel IPW event was more into like business to business. We're catering to people who bring a volume of people, which is why it's so much more impactful.
Right. Bigger value proposition.
Yeah. Okay. There are other industry events relevant to travel and tourism, like the Student Youth Travel Association has a big one. The American Bus Association has a big one. Those would be big ones for the cities that host them
to activate. And so once you got that layer in place, what was your approach to that next level?
For the next level. Yeah. Businesses that have something to sell to those consumers. And so I would advise people who are looking to raise money through corporate sponsorship to really try and understand your product. What do you actually have to sell people? And is that of value to your potential sponsors and customers? There's a lot of ways that can go, and you throw a whole bunch of stuff on the wall and see what sticks. And then you walk away and you throw a whole bunch of, like, again the next day and something different sticks. But the businesses who joined us to support IPW are looking for the customers that those international buyers were bringing. So it was people like the Newseum and the Spy Museum and Entertainment Cruises, who are all looking to open their doors to international visitors. Also some of the retailers, shopping's a big deal. So Tyson's Corner and Tanger Outlets joined us. And then I would also advise people, all the sponsors, you started to go on this, some sort of custom, really super cool experience. And every partner is quite distinct on their personality and on their brand. And so it's impossible to apply a cookie cutter approach to them. But we also found that people need something initial to work with. They rarely come to you and say, this is what I want to do at your event.
Right.
There's so many iterations and so many questions about, like, what do we have going on here? How about this? Not that. Okay, we can't do that. We can't do this. We can't fund that. Oh, there's a rule in the way here, but how about this? And so what we did is we generated everything we could think of that might have a benefit to it. And so digital communications, online marketing, VIP experiences, in real life at event, and kind of went to partners and said, what's the most impactful here?
Okay. So not cookie cutter at all. You didn't just say, here's our list of benefits. Do you want to sign on or not?
I mean, we did a lot of that too, but that rarely is how it ended up with each partner.
And that's the trend that we're seeing as well. I mean, we're going in with about, you know, we're watching clients going with about 50% of here's the basics, but here's all this kind of menu of other things. What do you want out of marketing budget? What do you want on foundation budget? I mean, depending on where the money's coming from as well.
Totally. And some people just kind of want to look good and bring their board of directors to a cool party and be in a VIP space. And some people really want a lot of direct, like, boots on the ground interaction and seeing everyone in the room wearing their logoed item. And some people wanted a lot of online marketing, social media impressions. And so we fortunately had a robust enough program and so many platforms that we could deliver on nearly all of those things. But we didn't know that going in or what everybody was going to want.
It's a big lift too.
It was.
To satisfy all of those different elements.
Yeah.
In terms of just, so that interaction, I mean, you've been in involved in raising funds for other organizations mm-hmm. and sort of seen it happen. And what has changed from what was being done before versus what's being done now in terms of how they want to be activated, the kinds of benefits they're really looking for, the kind of VIP experiences versus what they used to be versus what they used to be VIP reception? What are they now? What are you hearing and seeing?
That's a tough question. If anybody could like really figure that out, then they would like,
come on, Claire, I'm relying on you. This is, you're magical.
But I think that a lot of people are looking, they're looking to be recognized and they're looking for exclusivity. I found that with a number of our partners that they wanted to be the only one at this event, the only airline, the only retailer. Because the world is so thriving and complex and there's so much cool stuff to do and going on, people are really looking to, I think, fight through a lot of that clutter. And Destination DC can help that happen for a business. By aligning with Destination DC, automatically there's a certain engaged audience and a level of capacity and profile that is raised from that. And so that kind of exclusivity is definitely what people, I think, were looking for. Mm. And we created some really fun experiences around that.
And that was going to be sort of what, how did you innovate around all of this? Like,
yeah.
What innovations did you bring to the table to activate these guys?
Well, I had a fun conversation with my colleagues yesterday, kind of thinking through and preparing for this conversation. And one of them, what she said is she thought the coolest thing was what we did at the airports. And this is where we married two partners together. We had the Airports Authority, like we said, mm-hmm. on board as a partner, and IPW's success was their success. More people flying here is a good thing. Airports are constantly battling any sort of negative image about an airport being a pain in the neck. And so they wanted people to have a very positive, luxurious, welcoming, smooth experience. And then we matched them up with Hilton, who was looking to put their brand out as a comfortable place, wanted something very exclusive. And so we created a Hilton Welcome Lounge at Dulles Airport, where we carved out a space next to baggage claim that the airports gave us and brought in a couple of partners as facilitated by Linder. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And constructed a really lovely lobby that felt like a cool hotel space that had cool furniture. We brought in another partner, Northern Virginia, and we know that they have a really cool wine and microbrew culture out there. So we had a bar and we served wine. From the airport concessionaires and their retail partners, we had some on-site masseuses. And so people were getting chair massages.
Literally addressing the pain in the neck.
Literally addressing
like
the pain
it.
In the neck.
Never made that connection.
There you go.
Like
welcome. And then we gave them a goodie bag full of snacks and some fun things to take on the shuttle with them and enjoy. And people really enjoyed it. In some cases said, you know, I'm going to wait for my chair massage and skip this shuttle. I'll, you know, hang out and take the next one. So spending extra time in the airport.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. And then there were some incentives in what they were getting. So when you return to Dulles on your way out, go visit these retailers on the inside once you check in and you're waiting to depart. And so that was a pretty cool, creative stretch on everybody's side, on our side to kind of think it up and find the right partners to execute, from the airports to be willing to say, yeah, you can construct this thing in here and set it up in baggage claim and we're just going to let everybody look at it. And then for Hilton to say, we think we can take people when they land, when they might be frazzled, and give them something that is so welcoming that they're going to feel good about our brand.
That's fantastic. So it sounds like everyone was quite happy
with
the outcomes of their participation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. And everybody took a creative leap on that too. So I thank our partners for having our faith in that would work well.
How did you, so, you know, you're in this position ongoing, you have these interactions, you're developing these relationships. How do you determine, I mean, what do you do post the event in terms of assessing the success of it in their eyes as well as in your own and validating that?
Yeah. There's a couple of things that happen. I mean a couple of my colleagues, put together really robust recap reports. And we photographed everything that a sponsor got at the event. We had a full deployment of photographers and people with cell phones to capture every logo, every experience, every time somebody's flashed on a screen to prove what we delivered, with the intention of giving people a gigantic manual that was hefty and weighty and showed all of these things. So I brought one with me so I could refer to, and this one is 51 pages long. And so that's just like a reminder. Here's all the stuff that you got, and here are the results on that. If people are looking for validation on that.
What kind of results are they looking for? Social media impressions? Are they looking for, I mean...
Again, that depends on the partner. Some people pay super close attention to it, and some people did not. But within our hashtag on Instagram, My DC Cool, we had a 50% increase over the same week the year prior. And so we could go to partners and say, you were in our features and this is the results. That was pretty cool. And so some people really get that. And some people say like, oh, well, that seems nice. Analytics are cool, you know, but here's all the places my logo was. Here's the place I was or my boss was in this video. And so that makes them look good and validating. And here's where my feature, for example, Big Bus was another one of our partners, and they are very high energy and creative. And so we parked a bus outside of Nats Stadium or Nats Park for our closing event, had Abraham Lincoln racing president there, and people rolled up and took their picture with Abraham Lincoln in front of the Big Bus and loved it. And Big Bus was like, look, we're in all these people's pictures. We're on Facebook all over the world because they rolled in and wanted their picture with Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
That was really cool. So proving that those things happened is important. And those recap reports were really great. Then we've had a lot of conversations. Just tell me about how you felt about this. And those will be ongoing because, to your point that IPW has a little bit of delayed gratification, as the numbers keep rolling in over the next 3 years, we'll have to continue to nurture these relationships and find out how their investment has paid off.
And with an effort like this, given that there's not another event like IPW coming up, how do you keep those relationships sustained as time goes on? And is it necessary?
It's definitely necessary. In our role as Destination DC, it is our job to market the city. We ourselves don't generate a lot of product. It's our job to promote other people's assets. And so we need our partners to continue to thrive. That is to everyone's benefit. So we have ongoing programs all the time that are about engaging the community, about our marketing nationally. So we'll do that. Our tourism team has great partnerships globally with our international offices. We have 5 international offices with some of the airlines. And so we will continue to include our partners at our sales missions, on our trade missions going forward. And then there's always some sort of cool event and marketing opportunity around the corner. And we are basically nimble and responsive to capture those things too.
Anything that's coming up.
Yeah.
It's great. And I mean, we have many things coming up. I know.
All kinds of things coming up all the time.
What's one of the biggest challenges you and your team face in managing partnerships in DC in particular though? Is there anything unique to DC?
Sure. And I would even like say that we've got some unique benefits because we're DC. So there are certain things that come to DC just because we are the nation's capital. So we have a lot of regulation, a lot of restrictions about what can happen on some of our properties, like our parkland and on the National Mall. But then we have an exclusivity and a prominence that confers with that luxury of being the nation's capital too. And so helping people identify and understand what's the best way for them to participate, because there are a lot of ways that it can be a little challenging to commercially promote here. But it's also no one else has a venue like ours.
That is true. We are unique in terms of, you know, what DC offers. I mean, there's challenges, but it's a, and other cities, I mean, there's parkland in other cities that are part of the park service, but there is another layer of regulation here, I find.
Yeah. That's true. We also, because we're growing, you know, lots of major metropolitan areas are growing and successful. but our business community is growing and it's getting more competitive. It's a lot more competitive to own a restaurant now than it used to be. And so people are working with us to help sort of find their identity through that crowded marketplace. And then our challenge is, back to your question, is like, how do we help raise their profile and to do that successfully?
It's very, very interesting. Okay. So now we're going to kind of get into the we're winding this up. I'd be curious to sort of get your impression in terms of where do you guys draw? Where do you draw inspiration from? Sort of how do you keep current around the issues that you have to manage and the exciting opportunities you have to get people excited about?
Mm-hmm. So working for Destination DC is a tremendous privilege. We get to sell the city. And it also, for people like my colleagues and I who are intensely excited about our city, we love Washington. And in particular, the Partnerships and Alliances team are all people who are really interested in how business functions. And we get to really indulge that. And so we stay on top of that by really trying to spend time with our members.
Okay.
Go to those member sites, see what their product is, invite them in to talk with us, and really see it in action. Because that's the cool thing about business owners is they are both incredibly big picture and they have to take out the garbage. And so,
amen.
Right. So the more that we understand that and can figure out their challenges and support them, the better we are at our jobs. And for those of us who get to work at DDC, we love that. We're total nerds for that stuff. We think it's so cool. I think it's important to have a network of people who anyone gets energy from. And so I have a few people who have been incredibly helpful and insightful in my professional life that I make sure that I stay connected to and go have some breakfast with them and just kind of find out what's going on outside of the world. And it brings back a fresher energy to my own colleagues at DDC.
And is this kind of, do you have a mentor specifically? Do you have a kind of a, is this part of that group or is this separate to that?
Just on a personal note. I know, it's funny. I have a group, I would say I have people that I rely on, and there is someone who doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to ask her to be my mentor. I've like identified her out in the world and I want her to help to be my friend and be my professional advisor. but I don't have, there's not like one, but everybody brings a different perspective. And so this morning I had breakfast with some people in the arts community and we're talking about what's going on in the theater scene. And, that's personally energizing because I think the arts are great and I admire all of the jobs that they create and the innovation that they drive. This weekend I had spent some time with a friend who's a small business owner and, who is also incredibly engaged in local politics. And so we talk about the dynamic forces there and the, just as you understand somebody else's challenges and their insight, there's always something applicable to your own life and your own business.
Yes, that is true. And speaking of your own life, you're a very, very busy woman. You have a lot of balls in the air. You're doing incredible things in the city. What's your best personal business hack or personal hack that you could share with our audience? Because, you know, people, it's also that work-life balance.
Yeah, totally.
You know, how do you manage that? Sort of what is your, some of your personal hacks around that?
Oh gosh, there's probably a few. Very simply, I have a Google Doc that's a spreadsheet. And everybody knows about the Google Doc because if it goes in the Google Doc, it doesn't get lost. And it is ranked by who's accountable and priority and what the item is.
Okay.
So then when I meet with my colleagues, I was like, oh, let's go look at the Google Doc. Oh, here's your name on the Google Doc. What's going on with that? So it's always just open and we throw things on it all the time and they don't get lost. It's not a scrap of paper. It's always in there.
That's what I need, a Google Doc, because I have a lot of scraps of paper.
Yeah, it goes in the Google Doc. So that's like a very specific thing. And then I would say a life hack that kind of keeps me excited and motivated is like shared physical experience. And so I really like to share a walk with somebody or a bike ride or go and have some experience that's outdoors or that involves a little movement because I think the kinetic experience somehow works well in my brain. And I really enjoy that. And that's really energizing.
I've seen you on that bike.
Yeah.
You whiz past me many times. Claire, it's been truly a pleasure. Thanks so much for being on our show today and being our guest and sharing your just thoughtful and meaningful insights and helping our community be better.
Thank you. I look forward to so much more of it to come.
Well, as do we. And to you out in the audience, you know, in our next episode, we'll be doing a short question, a quick fire round with Claire. In the meantime, if you have more questions for Claire or me that you want answered in an upcoming session, email us at eventceo@linderglobal.com. Thanks for listening. And until next time, make your days great.